Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Saturday, January 15th, is the feast of St. Paul, the first hermit. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis calls on the Theatines to persevere in their witness to the gospel and in works of mercy. The United States accuses Russia of planning false flag operations in Ukraine to justify an invasion. And the bishops of Myanmar urge all parties involved in hostilities to allow access to humanitarian relief. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, Pope Francis met late this morning with members of the Theatine Order, who are concluding their general chapter in Rome. In his remarks to the Order, the Holy Father encouraged the Theatines to go forward with openness to the Spirit, firmly rooted in prayer, adoration, the common life, fraternal charity, poverty, and service to the poor. Thaddeus Jones has this report.
The Order of Clerics Regular Theatines was founded by St. Cajetan and companions in 1524 with the aim of forming a group of clerics that faithfully live the gospel, adhering to the holy canons and living fraternal life in common under the three religious vows.
Quanto cammino c'è dietro questo 164.
Welcoming the group on the occasion of their 164th general chapter, the Pope remarked how they've contributed so much with God's providence over this long history. Praising the witness of St. Cajetan, his striving for personal holiness and contributing to church reform, the Pope said he offers us a guide of a living gospel that helps us move forward in our personal and community journey. Recalling the focus on identity, the Pope mentioned one aspect St. Cajetan emphasized, that reform must begin with oneself. He recalled the saint's early experiences, noting that when he saw the widespread spiritual and moral degradation of the times, he cultivated his own prayer and spiritual formation, and then went out to minister to the sick in hospital.
Il vostro secondo obiettivo specifico è la comunione.
From identity, the Pope spoke about communion, recalling the witness of St. Cajetan, who did not go it alone, but instead created a community of regular clerics. The Pope said often Christian community life is made up of many daily small gestures of care, support, and solidarity for one another, gestures that support them in their ministries outside. He encouraged them to speak openly with one another and always avoid the harm of gossip, which can hurt a community.
Infine, il terzo obiettivo che vi proponete è proprio la missione.
Finally, the Pope recalled their focus on mission in order to discern the signs of the times, in order to better proclaim and live the kingdom of God among all people. He encouraged them to be flexible, to avoid any rigidity, while being firmly rooted in the essentials of prayer, adoration, common life, fraternal charity, poverty, and service to the poor. In conclusion, the Pope prayed for the intercession of St. Cajetan and the Blessed Virgin Mary to accompany the Theatines in their journey and commitment to communion and mission. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
In world news, the United States has accused Russia of preparing to invade Ukraine within weeks amid concerns inside the U.S.-led NATO military alliance about a possible new major conflict in Europe. As Stefan Boss reports, American intelligence findings claim to suggest some 100,000 Russian troops massing along Ukraine's borders could enter the country on a false pretext. Here's Stefan Boss.
Washington says Russia has operatives trained in explosives to carry out a false flag operation to fabricate a reason to invade Ukraine. These units allegedly could carry out an attack, for instance, against Russian-backed forces in or near eastern Ukraine that Moscow could blame on Ukraine's government. An official said these forces were preparing to start working several weeks before a military invasion between mid-January and mid-February. Jake Sullivan, the U.S. National Security Advisor, said earlier that Russia used similar tactics in 2014 when it captured Ukraine's Crimea Peninsula and backed an insurgency in eastern Ukraine. He also suggested that preparations for a Russian invasion are ongoing.
We believe that the Russians have positioned tens of thousands of troops and advanced military equipment on the border with Ukraine, and that they have done so with at least the capability, if not the intention, to invade. We believe the threat of invasion is real. If Russia chooses to roll across the Ukrainian frontier and further invade Ukraine beyond the incursions it has already made, the United States will respond. We will respond with our allies. We will respond with severe sanctions.
The announcement came as hopes were waning within the NATO alliance that an invasion could be avoided after a week of talks between U.S. and Russian diplomats in Brussels and Geneva. Moscow says it has no intention to invade Ukraine. However, Russia demands security guarantees and says NATO must hold its expansion eastwards without accepting Ukraine as a new member. NATO says it's up to Ukraine or any other European country to decide whether to join the military alliance. Amid the tensions, there were fears of more bloodshed in Ukraine, where clashes between government forces and Russian-backed separatists in the east already killed 14,000 people. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Bishops in Myanmar have expressed deep concern over the escalation of fighting between the army and insurgents in the states of Kaya, Chin, and Karen. In a statement released during their General Assembly in Yangon earlier this week, the bishops urged all parties to facilitate access to humanitarian relief for civilians and have called on all of their dioceses to promote peace throughout all possible efforts. Lisa Zingarini tells us more.
As violence continues to escalate in Myanmar, Burmese bishops have urged all parties to allow access to humanitarian relief and to respect the integrity of churches, hospitals and schools. Fighting between the military and the rebel forces has intensified dramatically in the last weeks, killing civilians indiscriminately and displacing thousands of people. Churches have also been damaged in the fighting. In their statement, the Catholic bishops of Myanmar say they are deeply saddened by the current situation, remarking that thousands are fleeing their homes and many are dying of hunger. Bishops also express gratitude to all the priests and religious engaged in giving shelter to the displaced, saying that the nation will be healed by these gestures. They encourage all Catholic dioceses in the country to promote peace through all possible efforts, especially prayer. Since a military coup in February 2021, over 1,400 people have been killed, including at least 50 children, and more than 10,000 people have been detained, among them also Catholic priests and Protestant pastors. Many cases of tortures have been reported during the military crackdowns and the pro-democracy movement. I am Lisa Zingarini.
The United Nations Food Programme, WFP, on Friday warned its life-saving food assistance operations in northern Ethiopia are about to grind to a halt. With food, fuel, and funding at an all-time low, the UN's Food Assistance Agency says that millions in and around Ethiopia's war-torn Tigray region are in danger of starving. Robin Gomes tells us more.
The escalation of conflict across Ethiopia's northern Tigray region means that no WFP convoy has reached the regional capital, Mekele, since mid-December, WFP, the UN's food program, said on Friday. More worrying still, stocks of nutritionally fortified food to treat malnourished women and children have now been exhausted, and the last WFP's cereals, pulses and oil will be distributed next week in northern Ethiopia, where millions are estimated to be in need of food assistance. Because of fighting, food distributions are at an all-time low, WFP spokesperson Thomas Piri told reporters in Geneva. According to WFP aid workers on the ground, warehouses are completely empty, which Piri described as a very dire sign. "We are on the edge of humanitarian disaster," warned another WFP official. "We are now having to choose who goes hungry to prevent another from starving," said Michael Dunford, WFP's regional director for Eastern Africa. He called for immediate guarantees from all parties to the conflict for safe and secure humanitarian corridors via all routes across northern Ethiopia. He said the lack of both food and fuel means we've only been able to reach 20% of those we should have in this latest distribution in Tigray. WFP also raised concern over an unprecedented lack of funding, saying it will likely mean millions of people will be left without food and nutrition across all of Ethiopia from next month. More than a year into the conflict in Ethiopia, an estimated 9.4 million people require humanitarian food assistance. This is an increase of 2.7 million from 4 months ago, the highest number yet, WFP said in a statement. I am Robin Gomes.
Finally, vigils were held throughout Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland on Friday, calling for an end to violence against women following the murder of a young female teacher. Lydia O'Kane has this report.
Another woman's life was cut tragically short by violence this week, which has left the Irish nation in shock. Aisling Murphy, a 23-year-old teacher, was killed in Tullamore in the Irish Midlands on Wednesday while out jogging. Police say the attack was likely random and that the perpetrator is still at large. Aisling's murder is being seen as a watershed moment in the call to stamp out violence against women. Many Irish towns and cities came to a standstill on Friday to remember a young woman and talented musician. Among the 100 vigils organised the length and breadth of Ireland and Northern Ireland was one held outside the Irish Parliament in Dublin, where a minute's silence was held at 4:30 p.m., close to the time Miss Murphy was attacked. Among those paying tribute to the young teacher was Prime Minister Micheál Martin, who said the government has been working over the last year on a national strategy on domestic, sexual and gender-based violence, the centrepiece of which is zero tolerance for violence against women. Aisling Murphy's name will now be added to the long list of women who have died as a result of violence. Last year, the killing of 33-year-old marketing executive Sarah Everard made headlines in Britain when she was kidnapped and murdered by a serving police officer. Her death sparked widespread debate about women's safety and violence against women in the UK. And during the COVID-19 pandemic lockdown, reports of domestic abuse increased globally. Just over 2 weeks ago, while celebrating Mass on New Year's Day, Pope Francis called for an end to violence against women. In a homily centred around motherhood and women, the Pope said, "Since mothers bestow life and women keep the world together, let us all make greater efforts to promote mothers and protect women. How much violence is directed against women? Enough. To hurt a woman is an insult to God, who from a woman took on our humanity, not through an angel, not directly, but through a woman." I'm Lydia O'Kane.
And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Also, tomorrow morning, you can join us for the live broadcast of the Pope's Angelus Address, which takes place at noon Rome time from here in Rome. We'll broadcast that live on our web portal with English language commentary and translation. Also, don't forget to catch the latest updates on our Facebook page and Twitter feed. Many thanks today go to our producers and sound engineers in studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.